cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. It is the 26th of May. Wowzers, wowzers, almost the June. Buddy Malloy, how are you doing this morning?
Yes, June must come. It must come.
Oh, that's a new kind of slant on things happening.
Well, June is my birthday month, so it must hurry up and get here.
Wow, Mubs, you're getting deeper and deeper towards the big 3-0, huh? Such a big milestone for all of us, I know.
That's cute, considering that I'll be turning 30-something else.
30-something else?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Never would have thought that.
Oh.
Michael, what's your guess on how old my buddy is?
I was going for just under 30. So this is a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you who's under 30. Michael Flax, he's under 30. C.S. Sangweni Finn, he's under 30, but he's not here. And I'm over 30.
Yes.
I'm 34.
How old are you?
I'm 34, Michael. So I am the oldest person in the studio right
now. People don't look their age here at Cliff Central.
Well,
because we're so full of life.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing.
So full of juice, so full of zest. Gareth will be joining us very, very soon.
Yeah, he's just en route to his hotel, and then he's going to join us via the internet.
Yeah, so he had a very big day with watching fellow South African entrepreneurs pitch and present. Now, it's a really big deal what these guys do in Silicon Valley, of course, as we found out for the last few days. So some of SA's finest have been taking ideas that they've grown here, they've nurtured here, and they've taken it to top knobs of Silicon Valley.
It must be such a roller coaster ride for them because, you know, they're trying to settle the butterflies in their stomachs because they realize the caliber of people that they're presenting to. But at the same time, it must be completely exciting because what an opportunity.
It really must be here. But like, imagine how nervous you are. Your whole life, you created a product, you created a service, and you've always thought of yourself like, you know, I want to emulate the guys in Google. I really look up to like Mark Zuckerberg, that kind of people. And here you are actually where they are walking the walk, so to speak. And you're taking your product. So Gareth's going to tell us all about that. If you do follow Gareth on social media, which I'm guessing you do, you'll find he hasn't just been posting selfies. He's fought the urge to mix it up a little bit.
Oh.
So you got like a 50-50 split. You got 50% selfies, 50% other people and things that he's doing. Group photos.
Is this on Instagram?
Yeah,
all over social
Instagram,
media.
Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I don't really do Facebook, but yeah.
I sense a bit of condemnation in your voice, Ben, because, you know, do you have a problem with Gareth posting selfies 100% of the time? Are you saying that there should be a split?
I've got a problem in life with what's the word? Repetition.
Okay.
So I think Gareth thinks Instagram is like a visual foursquare where you just basically show up. So he's taking a picture of himself.
But Ben, that's what everyone does on Instagram is selfies. And, you know, it's either bikini selfies or topless six-pack selfies.
Yeah, but that's a vanity thing. Gareth's just showing up. I mean, bring more game than just your face and a half-assed smile. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, we can take it up with him if you want, but I mean, that's just what I'm getting at.
I know.
The messages are already going on. Roman says it's also his birthday this month.
Hey, Roman!
And he's also under 30, just like you, my buddy.
Oh,
Michael.
Fantastic. Roman, you and I must have a drink.
He doesn't drink.
What?
Yeah, he's far too, what's the phrase?
Oh, my God.
How do you say it in English? Up his own...
Poise.
What?
Is the word poise. He's too poise. No.
Michael, I'm just going to go with that sounding like a French...
Isn't poise a word?
No. Like poised.
You have poise.
Yeah.
Or you are poised. So...
I don't think that's the word that you are thinking of, though, to describe why Romo doesn't drink.
Yeah, I think he doesn't drink because he wants to, you know, maintain this facade of him being much more intelligent than everyone else. But yeah, the Renegade Report, that is Roman and Dr. Jonathan Wood. That's going great guns as always this week. They're always tackling very good things. You can find that on cliffcentral.com right now. But what I really want to get into this morning, and I've been waiting all night to do this, is that Michael brought up a really good point Well, okay. Should we phrase that?
Let's leave it at that, Ben.
Michael brought up a point. And I think that there's a song that Robin has sent us. And I think we just got to play it before we go into Gareth. Because we need to get the morning into the right sort of spirits. And here's a song about Michael's detachable penis theory. Oh, no, that's my other song. And I really hate it when I do that. I try to enter something, it's so professional, and then this happens. Okay, anyway. This is Michael's song about the detachable penis theory. King Missile, detachable penis. I apologize in advance. This could be the worst song in the world, but it's catchy.
I woke up this morning with a bad hangover, and my penis was missing again. This happens all the time, it's detachable. This comes in handy a lot of the time. I can leave it home when I think it's going to get me in trouble, or I can rent it out when I don't need it. But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it. First I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it. So I called up the place where the party was, they hadn't seen it either. I asked them to check the medicine cabinet, cause for some reason I leave it there sometimes, but not this time. So I told them if it pops up to let me know. I called a few people who were at the party, but they were no help either. I was starting to get desperate. I really don't like being without my penis for too long. It makes me feel like less of a man, and I really hate having to sit down every time I take a leak. After a few hours of searching the house and calling everyone I could think of, I was starting to get very depressed, so I went to the Kiev and ate breakfast. Then as I walked down 2nd Avenue towards St. Mark's Place, where all those people sell used books and other junk on the street, I saw my penis lying on a blanket next to a broken toaster oven. Some guy was selling it. I had to buy it off him. He wanted 22 bucks, but I talked him down to 17. I took it home, washed it off, and put it back on. I was happy again. Complete. People sometimes tell me I should get it permanently attached, but I don't know. Even though sometimes it's a pain in the ass, I like having a detachable penis.
Detachable penis. What a song, huh?
Well, you know, just when you think you know all the weird things that are happening in the world, you discover something brand new. There is a song about a detachable penis.
That is absolute class. Thanks, Robin.
Hey.
All right, Gareth, you with us?
Yo, what's up, bitches?
Hey, Gareth, how's it going? Live from the USA, it's Gareth Cliff.
Yeah, very, very good. How have you been?
Yeah, solid. Hey, we just woke everyone up with a song about detaching your penis.
I heard that. I thought that was quite creative.
To go with Flax's theory the other day. It turns out that it's been around for quite a while. And King Missile, there's an actual band called King Missile. They had an album once called Happy Hour. You got to see this music video. It is the most bizarre thing you'll see. Anyway, you had a slightly busier day today than yesterday.
Yeah, three of our South African startups pitched themselves at Silicon Valley Open Doors, which is like a massive kind of get together of a whole lot of investors and a whole lot of people who are in tech startups that want funding. And you hope it's like blind dates almost. It's like you go and sit opposite somebody for a little while and you find out whether you like them or not. And then if you like them, you buy shares. If you don't, you move on.
Wow, the pressure.
But it's all on. I know, but it's all on stage. And I have to tell you, all three of our South Africans did an extraordinary job. The first one was Sapo Makwazima, who he's got an amazing business called Umoye. It's Umoye, A-I-R. And it's a business that basically allows you to make a call for free as long as you watch an ad or listen to an ad. So basically, if you are stuck without airtime, he will get an advertiser to pay for your call, and in return, you just have to listen to their ad, which is 10 seconds.
That is
brilliant.
Isn't that cool?
Wow. So cool. You know, in a world where we can barely stand the 5 seconds while watching a YouTube clip to click on that skip ad, this is an interesting way for advertisers to get back into the game.
damn straight. And I think Sapo was amazing. He answered all the questions. They loved his idea. He got a lot of questions from people from all over the world who came to this conference. And who knows, you know, there might be someone who's willing to give him that $1 million.
But sure, Mubs, good point. Like, we hate ads, but now it's like, okay, hang a second. Yeah, I actually need brands. And brands are going, yeah, damn right you do.
Interesting.
Well, the other two were Claudia Swartzberg, who did a terrific presentation. We've had her on the show before. She's got an education business called Top Dog. And they write textbooks, but in a couple of days, they can give you everything you need from the textbook that is designed specifically for your needs. She uses artificial intelligence to do this. It's terrifically clever. And apart from being absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, she is one of the smartest people I've ever met. So when she stood up there, everybody listened. And she was eloquent and erudite, and she basically wowed the whole lot of them, just like Sapo did. And who knows, you know, she had a couple of good meetings afterwards. You never know what could happen. This could be the moment that she goes global as well. And the third one was Murray Legg, who is in partnership with our friend Mike Sharman. They run a business called Webfluential, where they connect influencers, in other words, celebrities and people who are powerful on social media, with products and services and endorsements and that kind of thing. And it's a terrific business model. They really have sewn it up. They've figured out the business better than anyone else. And he was also just a tremendous presentation. Everybody loved him. I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them get picked up by some big Silicon Valley investment business. But all of us, you know, all the 22 people who are here at the moment are all pitching businesses every day, basically. And we're all getting to know each other well, which means when we get back home, we're going to have a nice network of people who can do amazing things together.
That is so, so cool. And was it like a TED Talk? Do they get a certain amount of time and then they were kind of under the gun, or do they get to elaborate a bit?
They have 5 minutes to pitch, and then they do questions afterwards. So it was very quick. It's like quick fire. And by the way, in between our three South Africans, there were a couple of people from everywhere. There were Americans, there were Russians, there were people from Ukraine, there were people from Singapore. It was incredible.
Any other really amazing ideas you want to touch on?
It's very hard to kind of differentiate some of the ones, because I was really listening to our South African guys, but a lot of these other ideas are everything from the one guy had a means of watching screens, all these screens that we're surrounded by now, whether it's an iPad or a computer or a TV, that does less damage to your eye and puts less strain on your eye. And he's developed the science around that, which is quite an interesting idea. There was a 12-year-old kid.
No, stop. Stop right there. You see?
Yeah, but he isn't a kid. He's an asshole.
I thought you were going to say there was a 12-year-old kid who presented an idea.
He did, and he's an asshole.
Oh, come on. Okay, I see.
What was he doing? Just showboating and stuff?
Yeah, he looked like one of those kids that, you know, when they have a stage mom who kind of, you know, tells them that, okay, now this is what you say. He looks like he's been practicing this since he was six.
Okay, all right. But he is
shame. I'm being unkind. It's basically a tool that allows kids to save money for their studies. And it's all on an app. It's not a stupid idea, but it wasn't one of the best ones. And he is 12, so let's give him a break.
Shame. He's doing more at 12 than what any of us were doing at 12.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what some of the others were, because honestly, there was so much going on today that it was a little bit crazy. I'm getting to know a lot of these guys who are on the trip with us very well. And some of them, well, all of them, really, to be perfectly frank, all of them are extraordinarily clever people. I mean, you really feel like I'm the dumbest guy in the room by a New York mile. Hmm. Oh, it's very impressive. There's a guy called Riaz who is a programmer. I mean, he worked at Google already. He worked with Google before. He's studying at Cambridge now, doing a master's. And he wants to get more computer science teachers into South Africa and wants to train them up. and he's got a plan for it, and he's just really smart. I mean, he's the one guy who understands more than almost anyone else on the trip. When they start talking code, this guy knows what they mean.
Such a different trip this way, Gareth. I mean, last time you were in America, you were talking about beef for about 20 minutes, and now you're talking about really amazing human beings.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, it's everything here is just at the moment on a massive trajectory of how do we solve the world's problems? Again, I don't want to copy and paste stuff that I said yesterday, but that's what appeals to investors at the moment. That's what people see as the most important way to make money and to create a better universe. I think it's amazing how all of these things are aligning now. You know, business used to be whatever you have to do to make a profit. And if you damaged the world or if you damaged people,
yeah,
then you could still make the money, you'd be fine. That's not how it works anymore.
Yeah, it's not the 80s anymore. I think a lot of people had the whole greed is good 80s kind of philosophy, which just kind of got a further down, because third world countries obviously picked up on it later. But you're right, and it's really refreshing to see it. But it's just, how do we get it on the bigger scale? How do we get more people involved in this?
Well, I think that's part of what we have to do when we all get back, and what all of us should be doing in South Africa from here on in. What's been happening at home? I haven't caught up on the news. Is there anything that I need to know?
Look, we're going to talk about this with Justice Malala later, but, you know, if any of the stuff that we're seeing on television news and just pictures on social media are anything to go by, Haman Skral seems to be in a type of war zone of their own.
Oh, shit.
It has to do with a lot of people having been evicted from their homes because, you know, allegedly the land that they had decided to build their settlements on was not land meant for them to do so. So these people have basically been evicted from their homes. They've got nowhere to stay. We're heading slap bang into the middle of winter. You know, you can just imagine the commotion and the mess that's going on down there. But yeah, we're going to get into all of that in much greater detail with Justice Malala. You know, at least two people already were killed in the middle of the protests. You know, there were stories about a guy who was basically burned to death, and people just kind of, you know, watching all of this unfold. So there's a lot of stuff going down in Haman Skral.
Yeah, there's a bit of confusion around, was the land occupied illegally, or did community leaders sell off little bits?
Yeah.
I mean, there's stories of people paying 400 rand for a stand.
Yeah.
And then there's stories of people just arriving to ready-made shacks. Anyway, the red ants went in there and started obviously tearing stuff down, and then all the violence and mayhem. But Zapiro has been called a racist again. He the NPA's head.
Can
Sean,
I just point out before you go on to Zapiro that Haman Skral's where justice comes from.
Yes.
So that's like his hood.
Yeah, that's his home.
Yeah. So he'll know a little bit more than everybody else. Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah, so the NPA is Sean Abrams as the head of he gave one of the least convincing speeches of all time. It looked like he was actually being like tasered into saying certain things. I mean, it was terrible. All about Jay-Z and all his corruption charges and should they be reinstated or blah blah blah. Anyway, so Zapiro, he depicted Abrams as the organ grinder and his monkey. The organ grinder, of course, being Jay-Z.
I saw the cartoon actually.
Yeah,
which is it's an old trope. You know, people say speak to the organ grinder, not the monkey.
Yeah,
it's a well known saying. It's a well known established meme. It's kind of part of anyone who's done a little bit of cultural research will know that this is nothing new.
But like, it's just people now saying, how is it that Zapiro can just keep publishing racist work over and over and over? You know,
Jesus.
it's always that kind of thing. It's like, this man is a racist. You can't have him in newspapers anymore.
Well, he has since come out and said that, you know, he's admitting that he's taken a misstep in this latest cartoon. Yeah, he has. But I think that's another thing that Justice also wants to discuss in the Burning Platform, because he has a different stance on this whole thing. But yeah, since that whole situation, Zapiro has come out and he said, okay, I took a misstep. And
that's very disappointing. I can't believe that he's falling for this shit. You know, this is why I went to court in January. I mean, it's parody. It's a cartoonist's job to offend people. It's his job. That's what he is there to do. Who are these people who say that if free speech is fine, as long as it doesn't offend me, then it must be shut down, which is the opposite of free speech. You cannot claim to be a free speech person. You cannot claim to be in favor of freedom of expression and then shut down other people's freedom of expression just because it insults you. That's the point. If you believe in free speech, you must believe in speech that offends you. Oh my God, people are stupid.
Yeah, but...
And by the way, and like Sean Abrams, who are people standing up for him like he shouldn't be depicted as a monkey?
I think people are just standing, trying to stand against this whole thing of like, okay, you know, racist alert, let's get on this guy's back. And his stuff is edgy, but as you say, Gareth, that is his job. His job is to be edgy and depict the society we're in.
And I think it's also people who've never liked Zapiro's work anyway. And for them, it's a point of any means necessary to shut this guy down because I've never liked him. And every time he releases a cartoon, it irritates me. And so let's try and just shut him down. I think it also includes, you know, that group of people.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, this is what I call the regressive left acting up again. And they can't help it because they don't really have much of an argument. They have to just, if someone says something that they disagree with, they do something called virtue signaling, where they try to show, this is a whole thing, there's research that's been done on this. They try to show that they are on the side of the victim by making it look like they care about the victim by attacking someone who does something that might make the victim look bad. You know what I mean? But actually, yep. It's got nothing to do with them. Unbelievable.
Then the president also got into a bit of trouble because it's been discovered that the amount that was spent just to purchase vehicles for all his spouses amounted to something like 9 million rand. So this... This bit of news gave the opposition parties an opportunity to grandstand again. And, you know, just so people have also been very vocal about that whole thing, with some people arguing, yeah, but the president has more than one spouse. So obviously, you know, he was going to be spending, or more money was going to be spent on them anyway. And then other people counter arguing that with, yes, but it is because he has more than one spouse that they need to be extra vigilant about how they budget the money that is spent on them. Because, you know, we've got an economy to run in this country.
I'm so tired of this. It just feels like we've got a like a retarded uncle that we have to keep paying to look after. And he keeps like adding shit to the bill because he breaks stuff and he's a problem and he needs special training and he needs special nurses and he needs wives. And it's like having a huge burden that our country can't afford.
Well, Gareth, it gets better. Then our defense minister yesterday in Parliament said there is absolutely no way we can avoid buying him this new jet. There's just no way.
Oh. Well, they pretended it broke down like three times. You know, they're pretending that.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course they are. I don't believe it for a second. They've pretended twice. Oh, no, the jet won't take off. This thing is not old, by the way. It's way younger than any of the planes you and I catch to Durban or Cape Town or Bloemfontein. Way younger. Well, and the poor President Zuma, what if he gets stranded? Well, so what?
Well, you
what
guys.
A pleasure. Let him drive back from Uganda. You guys, in one of his wife's cars.
Putting the whole plane situation aside, now, you know, with the president... Good morning. With the president and his wives, and the DA has taken this opportunity to actually figure out how much more could be done as opposed to just buying the first wife's cars. So the total sum of this, the total sum of the new cars could fund 116 university students for a year. Or it could hire 61 police officers for a year. Or it could actually provide jobs to 1,315 workers under the expanded public works program. So you actually have to weigh out your priorities here.
Well, the DA have proven they can do maths.
No, but I mean, this is why I said that all this has done has given the opposition parties another opportunity to grandstand. So obviously the DA and the EFF will hop on this and they will try and milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah.
But then again, it's their job to do so because they are opposition.
But 10 cars costing 9 million rand?
Yeah, well, do you want to know what the cars were, yeah?
they yeah, have to be souped up in some way or the other.
You know, like, there's various ways to get around. Any of us ride Uber know that a Toyota Corolla is a good enough car. It really is. And you know, Toyota have just invested so much money in this country that there's now going to be thousands of new jobs, okay? Support them. No. We will have a Range Rover. Yep, we'll have one of those. No, we'll have four of those. Then we'll have two Land Rover Discoveries. Yep, those are quite nice. Then we'll get an Audi Q7. Yeah, that's nice and big. An Audi A6 and a three of those. Oh, wait, one more Audi Q7. Yeah, we'll have all of that, please. That's how I would like to get my spouses around.
But I mean, I put more thought into my grocery shopping list at Woolworths, and that's a lot cheaper.
Okay, here's my question. Would the extra expense have come from souping up the car? So you buy the car and then you fit it with bulletproof windows and then you fit it with this gadget.
Who's trying to kill Makumalo? I mean, let me ask you with tears in my eyes. Do you know anyone in the whole country who hates Makumalo?
No, well, absolutely not.
Probably the first lady, Nompumelelo, is probably trying to kill Makumalo. No. We don't know.
don't speak with forked tongue. Makumalo is harming nobody. Okay, she doesn't even need a car because she's most of the time she's in Gandla, right?
Yeah,
feeding the chickens.
She mans the tuck shop. She feeds the
exactly.
Yeah, she doesn't like
driving
around.
By her own admission, she watches Kumbulekaya and she feeds the chickens and she runs the tuck shop. And she's a busy woman, and she's in her 70s or 80s by now. Give the woman a break. She doesn't need a bulletproof car. Trust me. Makumalo is not sitting there going, Jacob. What I really need is a car. She's not sitting there demanding anything. In fact, this woman is the perfect first lady. It's the others who we have a problem with.
But the thing is, right, so they get these cars. I take it they're not driving these cars.
No, they're being driven.
Exactly, because they've got to have people around them the whole time, right? Yes. So it's not just the 8 million. It's now employing the driver. And there's going to be a bodyguard, right?
Yeah,
well, employing them.
One or two.
And those guys don't come cheap. They really don't, because they're generally part of an agency, right? An agency has put a big markup on them, like security guards. You don't just phone up a guy and say, hi, are you a security guard? Mm-hmm. No, you phone one of these fancy pants agencies.
You're missing something important. We don't need bodyguards for the first lady either. It just causes trouble.
Well, of course not. They're saying it adds to the expenses which haven't been brought in.
The reason no one will talk to Manduli anymore and you don't see her at any functions is because she was having an affair with a bodyguard. It's a bad idea to have a bodyguard, all right?
Well, you know, after Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner, Gareth, can you blame them?
Yeah, I mean, what else? What else is a bodyguard for? You know, come on.
We are Dabugi-sa.
So sorry, by the way, what's the tally of the first wives? Are we standing at four or five?
I don't know, because...
Stop
what?
Sia. You sound like the DA. What's with you and the...
No, but
no, I really want to know.
It's a good question, since was it Nompumelelo who was allegedly kicked out of the group because of those allegations of her having tried to poison the president?
So
she was moved out into a separate house.
So that's our first lady, Nompumelelo Ntuli Zuma. We also have Makumalo.
Mm-hmm.
There's Tobega Madiba
Zuma. I just want to go on record again saying I'm a big fan of Makumalo, and I want her to... in fact, if she could take over from her husband as president, I think we'd have a better situation on our hands. I am that much of a fan of Makumalo.
Yeah, you know what? She's never hurt anyone, really.
Hell no.
Her chickens are well-fed and happy.
That woman is a star.
Yeah. Okay, so that's pretty much what's happening back here. I didn't really want to get into that because
hang
I don't
on,
want to,
hang on, hang
to
on,
pull
hang
you down.
On. See, I was busy with these, being like the DA, he's going through the wives. So we've got Manduli, we've got Makumalo.
Yes.
Yeah?
Tobega Madiba Zuma, that I know.
I like her. I met her before. Remember, she was on our show once.
Yes, when we were, yes, there was.
She's big on Instagram. I know that as well.
Oh, well, you know, she's a modern, she's a modern woman. I mean, come on.
And then we still have, there's one who I always forget. She's the latest wife.
Well, I don't know why you're looking to us for answers.
Is he still looking for wives, though, or is he shut up shop there?
Well, I mean, I think it's a case of if you find, like, the next person that piques your interest and you think, oh, yes, great for the collection,
guys,
then you go for it.
Guys, you don't ask a shark if it's hungry.
Oh, yes. So it's Bonginge Mazuma, and they got married in 2012. She actually has an honorary doctorate of humane letters from Shaw University in the United States. I don't know what that means, but it sounds fancy.
An honorary doctorate of humane letters? What the hell is that?
That's right.
Okay.
That That's what you give to a woman when she's visiting with the head of state from another country. You don't know what else to give her.
Humane letters.
That's some bullshit right there. And it's honorary doctorate, so it's about as worth, you know, come on, honorary doctorate. People should never say they've got honorary doctorates. Bill Cosby used to talk about all his honorary doctorates, and he's in the news for all the wrong reasons. Have you seen?
Yeah. Yeah, the plot thickens with old Bill.
Mm. Very bad.
Well, Gareth, we need to get into the sport, because yesterday I was horrified to find out that no one in the studio knew how cricket worked, the scoring. So today's new lesson is, do you understand how tennis is scored?
Ah, me, I'm good for this one.
I know how to give you a tennis score, like 6-4, 6-2, 3-1, but no, I don't know what it means.
See, Gareth, this is the extent. Well, Mabs, you're going to be really put on the test, because I've got definitions and I've got the origins of how tennis got its scoring. So you're going to be, you're going to school us, I think.
Oh, dear. Maybe I spoke too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, Gareth, so you're going to stick around for that, or you got things to do?
I have to run, I'm afraid, but I will keep you updated and check in on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to see all the latest stuff coming through from Silicon Valley. Tomorrow's my last day here, and then I'm heading through to New York.
Ah, very nice. I told you, Mabs, he's going to give us such great presents. He's going to two cities to make sure he gets the right ones.
Okay.
Already got your present.
Okay. Thanks, G.
It's Mark Zuckerberg's Mars bar wrapper.
that one is specifically for Flex.
it's one of those blocks from the urinals that was pissed on by Mark Zuckerberg at some point.
Oh. And
that's especially for Sia. Oh. And for Ben, I've got something even worse.
Oh, great. Nice. We can't wait.
Awesome. Right. Elon Musk jokes.
All right, listen, you guys, I'll catch you tomorrow, hopefully, because it'll be my last night here and things might be a little bit chaotic. But if not, I will keep you updated on social media, and I've got lots of cool interviews on record already for when I get back, so nice. I can introduce you to all kinds of interesting people I've met.
Brilliant, Gareth. That's very, very exciting. And just to recap, you will be here next Wednesday in studio.
That is correct.
Okay, very, very good. So people who are missing Gareth a hell of a lot, don't worry. Next Wednesday in the flesh right here. All right, Gareth, have a good night.
Night, guys.
It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, over floating bridges, and into colossal stormwater drains. You're a machine, and nothing's going to stop you. With two separate routes, a 22K for beginners or a 54K for the tougher riders. Go where no mountain biker has gone before. On the 29th of May, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
Right, Thursday sport, the weekend, it gets ever closer. So we're going to start off with some tennis, Mabs. Andy Murray, he had another five-setter.
Oh, what is going on?
Five-setter in the first round, five-setter in the second.
You really don't want to be starting out playing five sets if you're hoping to go to the final.
It's a long and grueling tournament, this French Open, because the games aren't like Wimbledon. You can serve volley and knock someone over in like an hour. Here, you're going to slug your way to the finish, and you want to save your five setters for the guys who are really good.
Yeah.
So Andy's going to be poked come like the quarters, even if he gets there at the moment. Wawrinka and Nishikori, they're through.
Okay.
Easier time of it against the lesser someones. And then Halep, Muguruza and Kvitova, they're all gone through in the ladies' draw. So yesterday, as I said, I was quite horrified that the fact that a cricket score stumps you guys. I'm going to ask all of you, to have a little go at why is it that tennis, and you get points, love, 15, 30, and 40. Starting with you, Michael. Be brief.
Sure.
Why?
Because you know it's 15, love. It's not like 1, 2, 3.
Best answer I can give you, Drake says in his song, they just lose to love.
Ups?
I actually don't know. I mean, I actually don't know the history of the scoring.
Well, Sina, I thought you would have some sort of idea, being the tennis fundi. Okay, so when you start off, you're on love, right?
Yes.
Now the French are clever. They say zero, but for some reason the English say love. Mostly because people say it's a bad translation from the word l'uf.
L'uf.
Which means?
I apologize, my pronunciation's off. Which means an egg, which depicts zero, right? Because it's round. Other people think from the Dutch word lof, which means honor. That's what it comes from. So it's just English bastardizations. And they go, oh no, we can't say lof or l'uf. It's going to be love. And it sounds really, really glamorous. But the French don't do it. They don't go, je t'aime. 15 shit them.
Zero. They go zero.
Yeah, so it's zero. So that is why we say love, which means nothing really. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Maybe they also use love so when the other player is losing, they don't get so upset, so they still feel there's love.
Yeah, that's true, Michael. So, like I said, the Dutch word lof is honor. So you're playing with honor. Even though you've got no points, you're still playing with honor. Huh. Or you're playing for honor. Now, 15, 30.
40.
Why wasn't it 45, though?
Yeah, you see, I also wondered why do we go from...
Stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, basically, to win a game of tennis, you need 4 points.
Okay.
So what you do is you take a clock, you divide it by four, you can get it on a clock, you get the points, right?
Yeah.
But the reason is it doesn't go to 45 because you got to go to 40 because that means as in two people on the same points. And then the English made it in juice. The French, again, the clever ones here, they don't use duh or juice. They use égalité because you're equal. So it's equality. So you got equal points. And you need to get 2 points after égalité.
Yeah.
That's why you don't get 15, 30, and 45 because 50 and 60 would then make up the rest of the clock.
Okay.
Is this not the most stupid, ridiculous, convoluted, and quirky thing you ever heard?
There is no way I would have known that, Ben.
What a lot of horseshit, huh?
Yeah.
They should make it like table tennis. First to 10, and then deuce, and then advantage, and then you have a winner.
Yeah, well, table tennis does, it just uses numerical advantage. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, you go win by 2.
Yeah, if you're both by 10, then you have to win by 2.
But there you have it. Tennis, you get love, 15, 30, 40. When you get to juice, two of you on it, and then you need to win by 2 points. You get advantage and you get game.
Yeah.
So that's tennis scoring.
Sure.
What a pile of shite, eh?
Completely.
But we should just follow the French. They don't say love. No. They don't say juice.
Egalité.
It's just zero egalité. It's almost like a very nice way of, you know, can you imagine if like Mortal Kombat was French? When they say finish him, I don't know what it is in French, but it would sound quite something.
But
égalité.
Where does tennis originate from? Does it from England, from France? Who started this whole thing?
I actually don't know much.
Yeah, we'd have to look
that
up.
See, it becomes, all these things are great when you research it, but eventually it just becomes his, he said, this said, she said, and then before you know it, you've got deuce.
I would love to know what like the first tennis ball was, probably like a sheep's testicle balls. Or something,
very, very possibly, Michael. Maybe you should look that one up because that's how these things work. Basically, animals generally get the rough end of the stick, and someone's balls could be hit over a net. Yeah, it's quite possible. So let's go into some other sports. Jose Mourinho, right? So into day three now. Day three of this. Is he going to be Man United's manager or not? Well, obviously he will be, but they're agreeing to terms. Now, the terms that no one quite envisages being an issue is that actually the trademark of Jose Mourinho. Now you think, well, that's him. So what's the issue? Turns out Chelsea owns basically the image rights and the trademark Jose Mourinho.
How did he allow that to happen considering the size of his ego? How did he allow it to be owned by another entity other than himself?
Because of the size of his ego, he sold it to Chelsea. So,
oh, my word.
So about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, he basically sold the rights to Jose Mourinho and his image to Chelsea. Because he was the special one, right? And then Chelsea bought into that. So wherever he signed, there was ranges of products all around it. You could buy jewelry, electronics. There's Jose Mourinho talcum powder.
Mm.
I mean, if you got some sweaty nuts in the summer, get Jose on your balls. It's actually got Jose Mourinho talcum powder. So there's various things that Man United can try to do. Jose Mourinho can try to buy out his own contract with Chelsea. Because if Man United releases a scarf right now that says the special one, Old Trafford, whatever. Chelsea can technically sue Man United for that because they're using the trademark of Jose Mourinho without their permission. Bullshit, okay. Huh? I mean, he's the new manager, but you can't say Jose Mourinho or use his signature.
So then what can happen now? What's going to happen?
Lawyers getting money, of course.
Yes.
So, but there's like 4 or 5 different things. So basically, Man United can go ahead, but then Chelsea can sue them, which they obviously don't want. Man United can pay image rights to Chelsea, which obviously is a very drawn out and stupid process. Jose Mourinho could basically reclaim the rights to his own name, which will cost money. Or Man United can try buy Chelsea out of the same deal.
But can Man United just not have Jose Mourinho coaching and have nothing to do with his image rights? Or, I mean, could they just decide, look, we'll never put you on any of our jerseys or our scarves or our whatever. We don't want that. We just want you to come in and do a job.
True. But the thing is, Chelsea can still then go on and sell merchandise around Jose Mourinho.
Then they can carry on and do that.
And then Man United will go, hang a second, that's our guy. He's our manager.
Gosh.
But then Chelsea will go, yeah, yeah, but we got the rights to him. And then it'll be an absolute shit show from there. So it's better just to try and make this a clear-cut thing. But what a... Wow. I didn't realize this was possible. I'm just like, yeah, I thought this was an absolute joke. But this is what's holding up this entire process.
Is this now the first time that something like this has happened in football and maybe in sport with regards to a coach or manager or whatever?
Well, look, there's been various things around image rights, around players and that kind of stuff. I mean, locally, the Francois Steyn and Sarri thing was a big issue. But I've never heard of it like in this capacity before, especially holding up such a big deal like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, another manager news. Rafael Benitez says he's going to stay at Newcastle. He's put all his future into this club. He wants to bring them back to be the great side that they are. He said he was really kind of won over by the love that the fans showed him. Even though Newcastle are now relegated, they've got this huge team, this massive support base, but they're not in the Premier League. Benitez says, cool, I'm in it for the long haul. He signed a 3-year deal post the relegation, so there'll be a statue about him in the Toon Army. Will erect it with their own hands this weekend. No doubt. On to Super Rugby. It is the final round before we get into the international test window. So basically the junior internationals, we see England travelling over to Australasia land. We've got Ireland coming here. So this is the last weekend before the Super Rugby goes into a little hiatus. So Friday we've got Hurricanes versus the Highlanders, 9:35. Waratahs versus the Chiefs, 11:45. Kings versus the Jaguars at 7 o'clock. The Kings actually have a sponsor now. Someone has decided to put money into them.
Yay, good for them.
It's a London-based sports management agency, which sounds very strange that somebody would want to throw money into this place. They're essentially going to give $20 million a year for, I think, 5 years. That's ballsy. I'm not seeing where the return is, but hey.
Is it concerning that the first people who wanted to put money are from another country, from outside of our own country, and that nobody within South Africa wanted to? Is that a concern?
I would say so. I would definitely say so. But then again, it just shows that there's not much faith here.
Yeah.
Look, the company that is London-based has many South African ties, and they've had dealings in and around South African sport before. So, you know, it just could be something that'd be maybe less sinister. But still, it's a bold investment for someone outside. Anyway, on to Saturday's fixtures. Blues versus Crusaders, 9:35. Brumbies versus the Sunwolves, 11:45. All these times, SA time, of course. Stormers versus the Cheetahs at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be at that match. I'm going to be in Cape Town this weekend. My girlfriend Danielle has never been to Newlands before. So we're going to go watch it. And her first match will be against the Cheetahs.
Okay.
Be a big moment in her life, I'm sure. We've got the Bulls versus the Lions at 5:10. And then Rebels versus Force. That will be on Sunday, 8:05 in the morning. So if you were to look at the log right now and to see who's basically in line for the playoffs. Now, this log is hugely difficult, so I'm going to have a little stab at it. So, and go through the top 8 teams that are currently in qualification positions. Now, let's not worry about the points of these teams, because when you top your conference, you get like a clear run into the overall thing, even though your points are worse than other teams. This is like tennis scoring all over again. So, for instance, the Waratahs, their points are really crap, right? They've got 30 points, but somehow they'll be third by virtue of the fact that they're the top Australian team, even though they wouldn't make the top 8 on points. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So just look at the qualifications right now.
You know, it's 6:45 in the morning. I can't be asked to turn on my mathematical brain just yet. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I should probably stagger the whole number thing. I mean, we got into tennis. That was enough earlier. So we've got the Chiefs third top position right now. Then we've got the Lions, the Waratahs, the Crusaders, the Highlanders, the Hurricanes, the Bulls, and the Sharks. So look, if it was down to points, those New Zealand teams would be a lot higher up. But yeah, Lions top SA side and full value for it. They're basically ahead of the Sharks. Sharks are second best. And then the Bulls and the Stormers joint points. Bulls better points difference. So those are qualification teams as they stand right now. I can't see any sort of big changes happening. So it's a nice mix as far as South Africa do have 3 teams in there, but that is by virtue of the conference system. New Zealand teams are going to dominate that. So when all is said and done, I'm totally seeing an all-New Zealand final again. Can't see anything else outside of that. So that's all sorted out into tennis before we get into Anthea. Sorry, cricket. Gosh, it's so blurred. I'm trying to get through the Love 15 and Egalites. So cricket, right? 3rd of June, we get the first ODI between West Indies, and SA. Now, this play is part of a triangular series with Australia. Now, it's been quite an interesting year so far. We've had Test Match Cricket to start things off. Then we had the World T20. And then we had the IPL. So these players are pretty knackered as far as they've been playing high-profile cricket from start to finish from the beginning. Of course, we also had the English here for a very long tour. Now, our guys have got to dust themselves off. They all want a holiday, right? They're going to the West Indies where it feels like a holiday, but now they still have a very grueling ODI series. So just have a quick look at the squad here and to think what the chances are for the Proteas. They play against the West Indies. Now, I know that the World T20 champions, but in an ODI game, it's very, very different prospects, and there's no guarantee all the stars are going to be firstly there or as motivated. Sunil Naryn is back. He was banned for having a dodgy action, but he's back, so that's a big thing for them. But in the ODI game, as the game gets longer, the Windies become less and less of a threat. So it's going to be between Australia and South Africa, no doubt about it. But just look at the team. These pitches are going to be quite low and slow. They're definitely going to benefit the spinners. So it might just be that the Proteas will now go in with two spinners in every single match. They tried it, in theory, at the World T20, but they didn't have the balls to do it. Then eventually they did it. They got Tahir and Mungiso in the same team, and suddenly our bowling attack was dynamite. So kind of hoping they can do that as well, because we also got Tabriz Shamsi. Now, he is the third choice spinner. He is a left-arm Chinaman bowler, Mubs.
Is it politically or correct to say Chinaman?
That's what I always wonder as well.
I don't think it is, Ben.
Well, no. Look, Cricket Info, that's what they call him. It's a type of bowler.
Okay. Oh. Okay. It's a type of okay. I really got I cringe there thinking, ooh, can we say that?
So he's a left arm wrist spinner, but in old cricket, that's called a Chinaman.
Oh gosh. Oh, that sounds so old and so stuffy.
Yeah. So let's stick to left arm wrist spinner. That's what Shamsi is, and Shamsi's had a bit of experience already in the Caribbean. He played in the Caribbean Premier League. He got 11 wickets there. He did all right. So we've got three great spinners. Then we've got a lot based on Chris Morris being this great all-rounder who really has actually been talk of the year so far. Yeah, there's been moments where he can't hit a cow's ass with a banjo as far as the ball's concerned, but he can definitely put it on the money, and he has been doing it for the IPL just in the last few months. So we've got a pretty decent bowling attack when you consider there's Mungiso and Tahir. You think those would be the first two choice spinners. Morne Morkel, he wasn't in the World T20, and he has been playing IPL, so he'll be there as well. Then you've got Kyle Abbott, who's going to be the guy who's going to swing it around a bit. So that's your four bowlers straight up for the team right now. Chris Morris will take in the fifth role there, and with that shirt up, they can have six frontline batsmen. So we've got Umlaan de Kock at the top. Faf du Plessis is going to miss the first game because he has a finger injury, so you might see Riley Rousseau slotting in at number three there for the first match, at least. Then we've got Abi de Villiers, JP Duminy. Those two are going to kind of be in there. Abi's going to be so knackered. I mean, he's still got a final to play in this IPL, and they might actually murder him at the end because they love him so much. There'll be like a 3 billion people pile on if he gets the winning runs again. Then in the number six position, we've got the age-old thing of, is it going to be Bayardino or going to be Riley Rousseau? Miller's been dropped from the squad, so he's not involved. But then we also got the idea of, what's Parnell going to do? Is he going to be the backup for Chris Morris, or is they going to take a big chance, play him as a pinch-hitting batsman, and somehow find him a space in the top six? Parnell, if there was ever a time to be in the Proteas team of merit, it is now. I think the guy was told to go back to domestic cricket, do the hard yards. He did it, perform well with both bat and ball, primarily a bowling all-rounder. I think this is a pretty exciting team. We'll have to get into this more in depth next week as far as what our chances are and we're up against the Aussies. But it always comes back to the fact, can they bowl Yorkers, and do they have the confidence, or are they just actually there in a physical sense, because they're going to be so tired and drained mentally and physically. But we'll get more into that tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll also touch on the Champions League final and Nedbank Cup final. But now we must get into Anthea, because it's time for money. We all want money. We all might have money. There's money in our minds. And Anthea, well, that's her game. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Ben.
Right, how's it going?
Yeah, it's okay. Lots of good news in the lots of macro good news to drive global markets yesterday.
Well, I heard that for starters, the JSE was up.
The whole thing,
a big high there.
Except gold, Ben. That was the only thing that was down, really. Resources, industrials, financials, all over 1.5% higher yesterday. I mean, so the good news, the macro news, is that Greece has secured a deal for more financing from the IMF. Japan looks like it's going to delay tax hikes until next year, probably. Oil, huge rally last night. Brent crude is now trading over $50 a barrel, first time this year. So the energy sector, of course, was up 1.5%. There was some bad company news. There was one particularly, Alibaba Group, you know, the online retailer. The shares fell 7%. They announced that, or they put out a statement saying that they were being investigated by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission about accounting practices.
Jeez, that's not what you want hanging over your head.
No, definitely not. Even MTN was up yesterday in our market, almost 2%. And you can choose, Ben, you can choose the market added. Dead cat bounce or a rising tide lifts all boats?
is there someone in a dark room making all these financial analogies? Because you come out with some absolute pearlers.
No, I think, I don't know what it is. I think the environment, like the trading environment, is quite tense. And so traders generally will do anything for a bit of fun. They just talk a whole lot of rubbish all day.
The rising tide lifts all boats. That's a good one.
Yeah. I've got the reverse of that for when the markets go down, but I'll hold that for the appropriate time.
Okay, cool.
So in the morning yesterday, the Rand strengthened about 15.54 and then weakened all the way to 15.78 in the afternoon. I see it's back at 15.62 this morning. Really, I don't know, trying to find a level, struggling, not sure where it's going, you know, between kind of what's happening in the markets and kind of thinking that the global economy is going to be okay, our politics and the US raising interest rates. This poor Rand is a bit schizophrenic at the moment.
Shame, we really need to feel for the Rand. Can you imagine what it's going through? We're the ones sitting here moaning about it the whole time. Shame, the tough guy must be having such a difficult time.
Yeah, and that's because we're the ones spending rands, right?
Yeah.
You know that there's a Twitter profile for the Rand. It's like a parody. It's a parody profile.
Yeah. Oh what gosh. Let's look it up. Let's get straight onto that.
So basically, it gives running commentary about the ups and downs of the Rand. I can't find it right now. I'm not sure what it's called. Anyway, it's pretty funny, but it definitely depicts the whole thing of like this poor guy. He's just being beaten around. Some days people like him, other days people hate him.
Looking forward to finding that Twitter profile. And then just on company news, Mediclinic, the one share that we really like and have been holding for a while now, reported full year results slightly below consensus, but even that didn't stop the share from trading higher yesterday. It closed about 66 basis points higher. But you know Mediclinic, they've just bought into the Switzerland business, they've bought into the Dubai hospital business, they bought Spire Healthcare in the UK. So I think we need to give the share a bit of time to consolidate these businesses. And in fact, I think they're doing quite well. Revenues in Switzerland were up 8%, in Dubai or the UAE was up 15%. South Africa, we were up 9% in rands, but 6% down in pound sterling because Mediclinic is, and we do this pound sterling conversion, because Mediclinic is now listed on the LSE, the London Stock Exchange. So, you know, we always have to look at it at both. But for us, of course, it's good if the Rand weakens in this situation because our share, what's the Rand head, really?
Just out of interest, is Mediclinic, like, growing? You know, are there more and more of them being built, or do they work on a sort of pretty strong core?
We do expect continued growth in South Africa. And when you say growing, you mean organically or acquisitively?
Well, are they making more of them? Because you see them from time to time. Obviously, you know, the private healthcare system in this country is rather unique.
Yes. You know, so in South Africa, definitely lots of organic growth, lots of demand. I think a burgeoning middle class calls for private healthcare where you don't have good government healthcare. In Switzerland, Dubai, the UK. The reason they bought those businesses, because they were earnings accretive. In other words, they were going for cheap. Whether or not they're going to grow capacity will be interesting. I think at this stage, it's more about extracting the synergies from a global medical business.
Okay.
And then Sorgo Sun released full year results yesterday as well. Revenue and EBITDA was up 8%. There's slight margin contraction. Hotel operations saw some strong growth, so occupancy rates about 62.5%, which is good. And of course, the usual outlook. They said they're expecting weaker growth or difficult times because of the South African economy. The share was up almost 6% yesterday. But the good thing for us, because we don't hold Sorgo, the good thing for us is that their results was an indication that casino revenues are still quite resilient in South Africa, even in this difficult environment. So good read-through, basically, for Sun International, which we bought last week. The share was up 7.7% yesterday.
Well, it's kind of like booze. You know, people will still buy booze, you know, they can't afford it. They just need it. You know, it's the same with gambling.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right.
My life's not going so well, but what if I win a quick 20 grand? Sure, it'll be okay. You know, it's like it's like desperation economics.
I'm going to have to coin a paper on that.
Yeah.
Desperation economics.
Yeah, go for it. All yours.
Oh, thank you. Good title. So this morning, Asia looks a bit mixed, but I think it'll probably be another positive day, or at least I hope so, unless we get any bad news. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Oh, Ben, I see Manchester United shares were slightly up.
Yeah, I was just trying to get my head around what it could possibly mean in the next few weeks, because Mavis and I were discussing how Jose Mourinho's name rights, Chelsea own them, right? And it's such a strange thing, this, how he could sell them and how this deal has gone on. But anyway, that is what's stalling this whole thing, is that they're trying to wrangle the rights of the name of Jose Mourinho and his signature right now.
And do you think Man United would have to pay for those rights, or would he have to pay out of his pocket?
Well, I think they want him to pay out of his pocket, but Jose being Jose, he knows he's got leverage. I mean, this guy will use leverage anywhere. That's just who he is. So I think Man United are going to have to cough. They probably have to pay Chelsea some money, which is going to really piss them off. But it'd be very interesting to see what the share price does. I mean, I'm just looking at the graph that you just tweeted now. And, you know, there was obviously a big drop period, which was... I mean, obviously they've gone down so much as a team. Whether it's going to level or rise in the back of Jose Mourinho, I think it could go the other way just as easily.
But what was that sharp rise in March? Did they win something, or?
I think it was just the hope that Van Gaal was going to get given the flick and that they were going to get somewhere. You know, there was a lot of like sort of optimism around the fact that as long as they get into Europe. And as long as they get the new coach, then they'll be fine. But they didn't get into Europe.
And they might not get the new coach. I think we should short these shares.
I kind of agree with you. I see a lot of hope here. Mostly because all the other teams are going to be stronger. Jose's going to have to pull two rabbits out of a very fancy hat here. And that's going to cost them a lot of money.
Okay. Shorting on the back of Ben's advice.
All right, guys. So tomorrow's Friday. We're going to wrap the week off nice and strong. But thanks very much. And,
my pleasure.
Yeah.
Good day.
Big weekend ahead. Cool. Have a good day. Right. So today is Thursday. It was Sia Sangweni Finn's choice of songs. But Sia, I'm looking around. Nope. I could not see a fuck. He has not given any. So there's no songs, which is a bit unfortunate. So what we're going to do, Mubs, is we're going to actually get you to sing.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't do it to you. Don't worry. So we're going to come back with Justice Malala. We're going to come back with the news and the rest of your Thursday. Happy Thursday to you. And thanks for joining us the first hour. Second one ahead. CliffCentral.com.